Well, we're almost there. Not quite yet. Not quite yet. You know, for the world out there, Christmas is just about over. It hasn't even started. It's just about over. But we, who keep the holy season of Advent, have to continue through that cycle. And this morning, of course, is the last Sunday of Advent, Advent 4. And so if we were going to recap what we have been hearing in the Gospels for the last 3 weeks, we would have heard on the first Sunday of Advent, hope that was coming into the world, the reminder that indeed Christ was born in Bethlehem on Christmas Day, but also while he came once that way as a babe in a manger, he will come again with power and great triumph to judge the world, that we may without shame or fear rejoice to behold his appearing. And then we have that wily character, John the Baptist, who comes on the scene, and he begins to preach that baptism of repentance, explaining to the people how indeed one who was to come after him, whose sandal he was not worthy to untie, was coming into the world. And John says, I baptize you with fire, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And then we hear in the third Sunday of Advent, people are responding to that message. They're beginning to go to John and to say, what shall we do to turn our lives around? What should we do to make amends in our station in life, in our vocations? How can we turn from our selfish ways and look more towards God? And so people are beginning to respond. Now, you might think it rather odd why we make another transition this morning, but we read from the first chapter of Luke's Gospel the story of the Visitation. And I truly think the story of the Visitation, hopefully the choir saw this when you came in, right? The story of the Visitation is one of the most touching and inspiring and beautiful in all of Scripture. And of course, some of you have seen the icon of Elizabeth and Mary greeting each other at, I've had that for the Visitation. The actual feast of is May 31st. But the story we hear this morning, but you have to understand what happens prior to in order to understand the importance and the reason why this is so important. So of course, preceding the Visitation, where Mary goes to be with her kinswoman Elizabeth in the hill country, is the miracle of the Annunciation. The Annunciation, of course, is where the angel Gabriel comes to the young Virgin Mary and says, you know, you will be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, and the child that you will bear will be holy. And no doubt in her mind, she had many questions. You know, she was not yet married, to say the least. She was not yet married to Joseph. She had not had any relations with him, so it seemed almost impossible that this would be, you know, announced to her. And so the angel, Gabriel, says to her, you know this, your kinswoman, Elizabeth, she was not able to bear children, and she is now in the third month or the sixth month with her child. And, you know, you go there and go see her. And Mary has this epiphany, so to speak, and she realizes in her mind that God can do amazing things. And the angel says, with God, nothing is impossible. And Mary responds, be it unto me according to your word. And had not Mary said, be it unto me according to thy word, she was not coerced, she was not forced, she was not bargained for with it. She opened her soul with all humility and with all love and said, yes, Lord, take me as I am and bless me as you will. And God did so. And so the story of the Visitation. So Mary, in her fragile state, being with child, traveling through rough territory and terrain, goes and treks off to the home of Zechariah and Elizabeth. And there they greet. And the icon shows the embrace. There are many wonderful paintings also that show. But just imagine Elizabeth, who could not bear children, and Mary, who didn't even begin to imagine that she would in the manner that she did, they greet. And just imagine that embrace. Now, I'm a man, I never will have children, but for those of you who had, you know that sense of joy and that sense of expectation, and perhaps that sense of, you know, wondering what this is all about. And so the two of them greet each other in this warm and wonderful familial embrace. And Elizabeth is with John the Baptist, and Mary is with the Lord. And as they come together, the babe, John the Baptist, is all excitable in the womb because he realizes that Mary is there and he is the forerunner of Christ. And so there is this mystical, wonderful event that happens with the two children, the two babies in the womb, and then the two women embrace. And Elizabeth's response to Mary is, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And what did I do to deserve that the mother of my Lord would come to greet me?" I mean, think about that. Isn't that beautiful? That she acknowledges that indeed Mary is carrying, you know, the Messiah, the Son of God. And that is confirmation for Mary as well, that Elizabeth is with child, John, and that now the words that the angel Gabriel spoke to her and her obedience to that message of the Annunciation becomes a reality. Very scary reality, but a very deep and powerful reality. A reality that not only changed both of their hearts and minds and souls, but indeed changed the whole trajectory of human history and each and one of our hearts as well. And so in that moment, in that embrace, they realize that God has done a wonderful and powerful thing. And truly, with God, all things are possible. And then Mary's response is, after Mary says, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb," Mary's response is the Magnificat, that wonderful song, and she probably sang out with joy, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Rejoices in God my Savior. "For he has regarded the lowliness of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth, all generations will call me blessed." All generations. And so human history is altered, but it's in the embrace of Mary and Elizabeth that truly it's confirmed God's possibility. On the fourth Sunday of Advent, we begin to move from anticipation, as Mary and Elizabeth were, and expectation, to celebration. Now, we still have a few more hours. You know, you're counting down the clock. You got things to do. That's okay. But as we move from that expectation to celebration, remember, as Mary had said and the angel said, all things are possible with God. All things indeed are possible with God. And so there is still time for that last minute preparation. Remember, that's what Advent's about. It's preparation and expectation and anticipation. And one way to look at that and think about it is through the words of the collect this morning. When I served as an associate verger at Washington National Cathedral in Washington, D.C., I was the server and the altar guild and everything in between for the 7:30 Mass on Saturday mornings. And they would give me keys at the security place, and I could go throughout the entire building, which I did. And I would serve Mass, and I would read the prayers, and I was the lector, and I was the server, and I was the acolyte. And there was a wonderful priest who was very dedicated to his ministry there. He was retired, Father Frederick Bohm, God rest his soul. At the end of every Mass, when we would go back and say prayers, he would use that collect. "Come, Holy Spirit, and purify our hearts by thy daily visitation, that when our Lord Jesus Christ comes again, he may find in us a mansion worthily prepared. Come, Holy Spirit, and purify our hearts, that when our Lord Jesus Christ comes again, he may find in us a mansion worthily prepared." Elizabeth and Mary were those mansions. They were the temples that held the Lord and the forerunner of the Lord, John the Baptist. By the Holy Spirit, we are God's temples as well. And so I hope and pray for the last few hours of Advent that indeed we do take to heart that we call on the Holy Spirit to purify our consciences, that when our Lord Jesus Christ comes, and he will, remember the first Sunday of Advent, when he comes in power and great triumph to judge the world, we may, without shame or fear, rejoice to behold his appearing. And then, we can move on to the celebration of the incarnation and the nativity of our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.